Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 97 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the awesome kooky creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, putting the K in magic, and Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com or back on the description page for this episode back at Blog Talk Radio. And I would like to begin this show today by singing a very important song. Are you ready? It goes like this. Everything is awesome. That's it. That's how it goes. Everything is awesome. Everything is awesome. I'm here to say that, yes, it is. And it is really just a matter of perspective and appreciation, if you agree with me. Another way to think about everything is awesome is to just simply say, maybe the more mature way is to simply say, everything is progress. Or as Daniel Laporte might say, progress, because she is Canadian and that is who I got that little statement from. She often says, everything is progress or progress. And she used to use that back in the day when she was doing the Firestarter sessions, before she even wrote the book, The Firestarter Sessions. She would begin each session with a coaching client by doing this little prayer or invocation. And I've actually heard her do this on radio shows, and she's mentioned it a bunch on her blog, and I think it's really powerful. It's a great way to set the tone for a gathering or a coaching session, or just maybe just something that you want to be really present to, a special project you're working on. And it goes like this. We are here now to give witness to a shared truth that absolutely everything is progress, that we have all that we need, that brilliance is unfolding here and now. We are here now to give witness to a shared truth that absolutely everything is progress. Everything is progress. And I think that even if you don't jive with that, it's a cool thing to sit and think about for a second. Everything is progress. Every setback, every wrong choice, every mistake, it's progress. And progress is awesome. And I just realized that you may have absolutely no idea what was going on about at the top of the show with that goofy little jingle. So let me backtrack now and explain. That is the theme song for the new Lego movie that came out last year. I don't know if you saw it. I have a kid, so I saw it. But if you saw that movie or even a trailer for that movie, there is now a well-established neural pathway built into your brain that, if tweaked in just the right way, will come out with everything is awesome and there is nothing you can do about it. It's become the theme song of 2015 around my house, and now none of us can stop singing it. And FYI, it works in a really great ironic way as well. So if someone like rudely cuts you off in traffic, your whole car can bust out into unison with everything is awesome. And it's just a really good tension buster that way. And also, I'd like to mention another thing about that movie that I think is kind of relevant to what I want to talk about today. And it's really the message, I think, of that whole movie. So if you haven't seen it, sorry to spoil it for you. You can just, like, mute this section if you don't like spoiler alerts, but because this is a big spoiler alert. in that movie, these little Lego people, they are looking for someone they keep calling the special, which I think is so cute and funny. So all through the movie, they're looking for the special because they think the special will save them. Are you the special? Are you the special? They're looking for the special. And in the end, they find out that everyone is the special. Great message for kids. Great message for people, I think. So in addition to everything is awesome, you might also say that everyone is awesome, which is definitely a stretch. And I know some of you immediately are going to jump here in your minds, or I wouldn't mention it, but it's a stretch when you think of terrorists, sexual predators, and people like that. So let's not think about them here today, because honestly, I personally do not know how to account for that kind of behavior. I don't want to get into a discussion right now if evil is real and if these people are evil. They might be, but just for now, just for today, I'm not even going to try to go there. But just taking into account your everyday run-of-the-mill Debbie Downer or that self-obsessed jerk face at work, those people, they might be annoying, but they are on their own spiritual path, whether you understand it or not. Everything is progress. They are learning and growing and experiencing this earth plane in a way that is every bit as relevant as what you are experiencing. And hey, if you subscribe to the idea of soul contracts, maybe they're even fulfilling a greater purpose than anyone realizes. I don't want to get into that here either and go off on some long, crazy tangent, but learning about soul contracts was very enlightening to me. I choose, I think, to believe in this, or I choose to look at certain relationships, painful relationships in my life, through that lens, because it's very helpful. It's very healing to think like, wow, maybe we were serving each other in a very special way, and on some levels, maybe that is awesome. Maybe it hurt. Maybe it was painful. And maybe it was there to serve a purpose. So if you're struggling with getting over a certain relationship, or you're in a relationship where you feel like this person is here to make your life a living hell, maybe go check out the work of Robert Ojeda, or pick up a copy of Carolyn Mace's book that I think is called Soul Contracts. And do a little bit of work there, because it could help. It could help just reframe the situation. And then in terms of thinking about maybe we're all on a spiritual path, maybe everything is progress, this is really interesting. This happens a lot when I'm doing a show. Little synchronicities start popping up. And someone tweeted me and linked to an article this morning. And I thought, well, this is kind of what I wanted to talk about today. But the article was by someone named Annie Kagan. I don't know Annie Kagan, but let's give her credit. Give credit where credit is due. And it's called 8 Things You Didn't Know About Death. And she was talking about how her brother died. And I should have just cut and pasted this. I'm looking, it's like, wow, I cut and pasted these 4 points I wanted to share, but I didn't cut and paste what I wanted to read to you here about what she thought about her brother dying. But her brother died, and the way she, I'm just going to paraphrase here because I didn't write this down, but she was saying he wasn't the best person. He was kind of a hot mess. He was an addict. He didn't make good choices in his life. He was not a successful person. So she was really surprised when he came through to her from the other side in a, you know, kind of witchy, psychic way, and was imparting this spiritual wisdom to her about life after death. He told her things, supposedly, after he passed over, about what it is like to die. And it surprised her that he had any kind of spiritual information even after dying, or that he would come through for her in this way, because like I said, she didn't consider him to be a very spiritual person. And I think that really ties into what I was just saying about, you know, we're all on a path, and who's to say whose path is more relevant than the other? Maybe we're all special and everything is progress. I also wanted to point out this I did cut and paste into this little PDF I'm looking at here because I just thought this was interesting and it crossed my path. I thought you might enjoy it. Four of the 8 points she made, or three, excuse me, of the 8 points she made, 4, 5, and 6. 4, sin and punishment is a human concept. These are the messages she got from her brother. Sin and punishment is a human concept. There's a lot of mumbo jumbo on earth about what might be waiting for you after you die. Making mistakes while you're alive is part of the earth deal. If we had to be perfect to get to so-called heaven, no one would make it there. So, again, everything is progress. Number 5, your life on earth is not a punishment. Sure, there's pain in life, but not because you've done anything to deserve it. Pain is part of the human experience, as natural as breath or eyesight or blood moving through your veins. Everything is awesome, even pain. And then number 6, after you die, instead of judgment day, there is no judgment day. So when you review your life, you see the paths you took and the ones you didn't. You see where your genius was and where you might have done better, but you don't feel judgmental about it. And even though it might not make sense to you now, after you die, you understand that you had a great life, even the hard parts. So that's a beautiful message. I mean, I don't know if this woman is really in contact with her brother who passed over, although I have no reason to doubt her, but I am inclined to agree with those 3 points I just read, and to also add that everything is awesome. And it is awesome if you look at it from a particular mindset. Maybe you consider that rose-colored glasses, but I don't. I consider that being attuned to gratitude and a kind of awareness that this life is fleeting and we are blessed to be here for the time that we are. And let me just say right now, no, I am not super happy and up all the time. I do every once in a while have someone comment on a video about that. So I just thought I would put that out there. I am a very silly, goofy person, but I'm not super happy all the time. A friend of mine just wrote that she hopes I don't feel like I always have to put that energy or to put that on, that like happy face, and put that energy out there. And if that is a concern of yours, if you listen to my show and you're like, I hope she's okay, I hope she's not secretly masking her deep darkness with this friendly facade, let me put your mind at ease. Nope, I don't feel like that at all. I am an extremely goofy person, and bubbly is my natural set point, but I totally have my off days too. I feel like I share those with you, but maybe I have such a goofy, sing-songy voice that people aren't hearing me say, this sucks, but I do say it. I'm not inclined to come, you know, jumping in front of a camera on those days to tell y'all to fuck off. Not that I would do that, but I do have my down days, and on those days I'm not making videos. I just retreat a bit and go with the flow of that. So if I'm having an off day, I might practice some self-care or rest. I might just take a nap. I might journal out any frustrations or angers. I journal out my angers when I'm having a bad day, you know, because sometimes you got to journal out your angers. If I have to be around other people, my son, for example, I'll tell him. But even then, I tend to be silly because I don't want him to be worried or afraid. So I'll just say, I'm feeling like a grumpy butthead right now, and I really need to be quiet. And earplugs help with that, too. And I wasn't always, like, that mature and mindful when I was younger. I would freak out, and I would act like a total jerk face. But life has just taught me how to deal with those moods in a better way. So I tend not to freak out, and I've learned how to not catastrophize a mood or a situation, which means as soon as it has run its course, I tend to bounce right back up to that bubbly set point that I was just talking about and then start annoying the crap everyone with singing, everything is awesome. So call me Pollyanna, but that is just how I roll these days. And everything is awesome is not really about everything is so perfect. It's just recognizing that everything is progress. Everything is valid, and it's okay to be where you are. It's okay to feel what you feel, and you're not wrong for that. I'm just framing it in this really goofy, funny way to make a point, which I tend to do. And then in terms of catastrophizing situations, let me circle back on that, because that's another little synchronicity that happened recently. Someone was talking about they lost a pet, and they have a history with depression, and they were not happy to be revisiting those feelings again, you know, feeling that heaviness of depression. So I thought that was a really good example of what I'm talking about, because I have a history with depression. And once you've overcome something like persistent, chronic, clinical depression, that like the kind that I had, and you're doing really great for even a few years, it's not like you never get sad again or nothing bad ever happens to you. And if something happens in your life that is sad, that gives you that like heavy-hearted feeling, if you lose a loved one or an important job or your kid goes off to college and you're facing an empty nest for the first time in 2 decades, you can start to confuse the grieving process with depression. I mean, if you have a real history with depression. So I do think it's important to stay mindful of what's going on, because clinical depression is serious business. But I also think it's important to differentiate between feelings of sadness and feelings of depression, since they can look and act and feel a lot alike. And that definitely requires some spiritual maturity. You do have to know thyself, but it can be done. And the grieving process moves in stages, often called the 5 stages of grief. My band did a record called The Second Stage of Grief, because anger is the second stage of grief, and it is a natural part of the grieving process, and we were a very angry band. But in all seriousness, every stage is an opportunity to heal. And I believe it's also nature's way of giving you the space to do so. So it may not feel awesome in the moment, but it is awesome in its own strange way. It's valuable. It's progress. And let's just take a moment here to define awesome, which we probably should have done at the top of the show instead of singing that goofy song, but I told you I can't get it out of my head, so I have to sing it. My brain tells me to. Okay, so defining awesome. Technically, awesome does not mean super duper bitchin'. It's not like totally rad all the time, dude. It actually represents a whole gamut of experiences. A hurricane can be awesome. If you Google awesome, you know, they have, well, at least on my computer, it might depend on what system you're using, but on my computer, when you put just one word into Google, a little dictionary blurb pops up. So the definition that popped up when I put in the word awesome went like this: extremely impressive or daunting, inspiring great admiration, apprehension, or fear. So basically, awesome is anything that inspires awe. And if you're a person who is in tune with nature and the cycles of life, just about anything can inspire awe if you pay close enough attention. A weed pushing its way through the, you know, cracks in the sidewalk to get to the sun, that is awesome. The way little babies have of staring directly into your soul without batting an eyelash, that is awesome, and babies can do that. Have you ever, like, tried to have a staring contest with a baby? You will lose. The freezer in your kitchen is awesome. Hell, your whole damn kitchen is awesome. Imagine if someone from the 18th century got to spend an afternoon in your kitchen. They would think it was the most awesome thing in the whole universe. And I actually think that we've become so immune to these everyday wonders, so blind to them by their everydayness, that it's no wonder that we're all becoming a bunch of nature-loving hippies, because it's like we've so thoroughly cut ourselves off from nature that that's what's knocking us over with awesomeness now. It's like, wow, did you know if you soak this herb in this bottle of alcohol for this many weeks, you get medicine? So like that same person from the 18th century who was tripping out on your awesome kitchen would be like, yeah, duh, you didn't know that? It's called a tincture. But we're like, tincture? Tinctures are awesome. So maybe awesome is just a matter of perspective and a matter of seeing the world with fresh eyes, which is why I think cycling around the wheel of the year in a really conscious way, as witches do, and staying in tune with the changing seasons, it can help keep you in that state of awe if you let it, because nature's always changing, even if you live in a really mild climate. If you pay close enough attention, you will see all kinds of changes taking place. At the very least, you'll see the life-death life cycle changing place, and that is pretty awesome. And this can also, I mean, that state of being in awe can happen when you revisit an old practice or you start a new one, which is something that I'm really experiencing right now. I was talking about, I can't remember, if it was that the last show I did? I think it was, To Be Silent. And I was talking about, what about that K, the magic, putting the K in magic and all that? Why don't I teach witchcraft on this show? Why don't I make how to be a witch videos? I did in the beginning. I've set some of those to private, and one channel where I went through my first year and a day, that channel no longer exists, so you can't watch those videos, but I did share that part of my practice. But it really took the fun out of it for me. It really took the awe out of it for me, and even just in doing Kick-Ass Witch, even when I pulled back on all of that, for example, I would send my newsletter out on the new and full moon, or I was supposed to send it out on the new and full moon. Sometimes I'd be a couple days behind. But for me, the new and full moon, instead of being about setting new intentions on the new moon and doing like a cool little ritual for that, and then maybe doing a releasing ritual to like, you know, release those intentions fully into the world on the full moon, instead of that being what the new and full moon was about for me, it became about, oh crap, I have to send a newsletter out. And so I think my practice, my personal, private, spiritual practice really started to suffer. So as I pulled back on that, I started getting the magic back a little bit more. And then when I switched, which I just recently did, from doing a newsletter on the new and full moon to just doing one every Friday, like clockwork, I noticed like, oh, I'm getting all excited about this new moon coming up in a way that I haven't in a very long time. I've got my awe back. It's starting to feel awesome. And or this new moon that we have, it just happened in the middle of the night last night when we were sleeping. But I have like a cool new moon ritual planned for today that I'm all excited about. And I'm feeling like it's kind of awesome. So happy new moon in Aquarius, everyone. I get to actually enjoy this new moon instead of worrying about having to put a newsletter together. So that, my friends, is awesome. And I think this whole thing of me always talking about the wheel of the year with you, this is not going to end anytime soon, because every year I go around the wheel of the year, it gets deeper and deeper and deeper for me, and I find more and more connections. It's why I love this program that I'm always talking about. I do regret naming it sometimes, the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year, because every time I mention it, it's such a crazy mouthful, but it's such a cool way to keep the awesome alive in your life and to stay really present for that. We just are having another turn of the wheel again at the top of February. So there's a new module that's for sale now for spring transition, because we're at that point in between winter and spring. So for that module, We're going to be taking the next step. After easing our way into the new year in January, we're going to start thinking about planting seeds. And there's a new section that I just wrote for that called Everyday Rituals as a way of, you know, planting more figurative seeds. So if you already got that module, if you did the wheel last year, I am happy to send you a new updated module for free. You are entitled to that every time it updates. So yay for that. If you want to get that new section, if you've never done the wheel, now is a really fun time to jump on this module. We always do a Crafty Witch project. What is this one called? Something Icicle. I can't even think of the name of it. It's a really cool icicle craft that we do. There's always a potion craft recipe. And then this, you get a big PDF with lots of journal prompts and stuff. And there's, it's broken into sections. So the sections for this are the divining shadow, space clearing and the art of internal feng shui, strategic seed selection, light as a catalyst, this new section called Everyday Rituals, and then melting resistance. Oh, alchemical icicle. The melting resistance section goes with that Crafty Witch project. So I'm super excited about that. So in keeping with January's theme of easing our way into 2015 and focusing on making a more gradual transition, I think it's good to have patience with yourself, especially as we are heading now into another round of Mercury retrograde. back up your shit, people. It's just good to acknowledge that everything is progress. It's okay to be where you are and sing it with me now. Everything is awesome. And until we meet again, much love. Peace.